This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant.
You Kevin Durant, mate? Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go. Right.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth...
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that. Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Good evening and welcome to episode 3-8 of the Down to Dunk podcast.
Don't question it.
I'm Luke and I'm here with Taylor, Andrew,
and
Jay.
Hello,
and I'm Luke.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, guys. Let's talk about
Night Pod.
Night Pod.
A rare Night Pod.
So it is.
The Thunder crushed the Raptors.
Mm. It was such a fun game to watch.
It was so nice. So, obviously, the play of the game, and we have a top five power rankings tonight that has to be edited.
Oh, yeah.
Because this cross-court pass on this... It wasn't really even a fast break, right? Like, it was a fast break, but there wasn't like
There were two defenders back.
There wasn't a clear angle, except for Russell Westbrook threw the ball across the court, bounce pass underneath Corey Joseph's legs.
Like, wound up because it was so far away.
30, 45, 50 feet. 75 feet.
And maybe I think 200 it was full feet. Court. He threw it from inbound through Corey Joseph's legs.
It was really amazing, though. Okay, here's crazy. The thing. There's no way he thought, I'm going to throw this through Corey Joseph's legs.
No.
Okay.
No way. If it was intentional, then he should win the MVP based on that play.
It's amazing that he had the confidence enough to just be like, I'm going to throw this and I hope that this works. You know what I mean? Or like, I think this is going to work somehow.
It was crazy. And then Oladipo was also pretty surprised because he like bobbled the ball a little bit.
I was so glad. If that was anyone else, I think they would have just like bobbled in and would have gone.
It would have hit Robertson in the face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So tell me some things. So I didn't get to watch it.
Yeah.
Just being honest, I had some other obligations.
Hey, we all have.
So throw out a couple of the highlights. What were things that stood out to you about the way this team played?
I mean, clearly it starts with the 3-point shooting. They were 14 of 25 from three, 56%. McDermott hit two. Jeremy Grant hit a three. Sabonis hit a three tonight, which it felt like he was never going to hit a three ever again.
Yeah.
Oladipo's 3-for-3. Westbrook was 4-for-8. Robertson even hit a three. Their shooting was ridiculous. Everyone was scoring. They had six guys in double digits. Basically, nobody looked bad tonight, and almost everybody on the Raptors looked bad tonight. DeMar DeRozan was okay, but Robertson really locked him down. He only had 14 shots on the night, which is weird for DeRozan.
And that's just because the Thunder were up like 25 by the end of the third, so he wasn't going to take any more, and sat out some of the second. But like Russ had 11 assists at halftime, Jay.
Yeah.
He was just completely in complete control of this game from the start. It was unbelievable.
And it just goes, just kind of furthering that reality that four-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Right? Where I don't think he broke double-digit assists maybe once.
Yeah, maybe.
In those four. And so for me, it's what you recognize or see is that when he distributes the ball, this team's obviously better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they beat the Spurs, the Jazz, the Nets, and the Raptors. I know those Spurs and Jazz, for a lot of people, have asterisks around them, right? The Spurs played the last quarter and a minute or two without Kawhi. Fine. They were controlling it up to that point anyway.
Yep.
And then the Jazz played without Rudy, who's their maybe important best player. Well, at least defensively, he is their best player.
For sure. I think he's their most impactful player.
I mean, him and Gordon Hayward are the best two on the entire floor.
It was the Jeff Withey Jazz.
Yeah, that's not great. But either way, they controlled that game from tip to the end, and you just see a different team. I know they beat the Nets, and the Nets aren't very good, but the way this team had played in those four games, three of which were on the road, where they lost to the Trailblazers, the Suns, and the Mavericks, like... There's no guarantee with this team.
No.
So they roll the Nets, and then they just destroy the Raptors. Even the 21 points that they ended up winning by is a little bit inflated because they were up by 30.
Yeah, they were up by 30.
For a chunk, especially there in the fourth quarter when the kind of they just got started. So.
And Russ didn't play the entire fourth.
No, and still got a triple-double.
And it was great.
It was great.
Another thing that tells you an indicator of how well they played is that everyone on the team but Jeremy Grant had an assist tonight.
Yeah.
which may have happened before ever. Norris Cole played 3 minutes. He had two assists.
Is that the very, is that like, the
it was like nothing. End. Yeah. But it was, it's still crazy to look at that because for Robertson, Robertson had three assists tonight. Adams had two. Gibson had one. Man, Taj Gibson.
You love him.
What happened in Chicago to make them think that they also had to give us a second round pick? It's astounding. That trade is astounding. How many teams,
especially with as bad as Cam has been,
how many teams right now would want and need Taj Gibson?
A lot of
them. A ton.
And that's been one of the biggest things for this team to turn around after that 4-game losing streak was starting Taj. Right. And Sabonis kind of like relieving some pressure from him, and that's changed everything. And Russ, of course, deciding like, okay, I don't need to shoot 39 times.
They look good as a unit.
Some of them
look good as a unit.
They look good. But some of that is having confidence. Like, so Andrew's talked about it. I think you talked about it with Weston, and you talked about it with Ham in the sense that Taj Russ connection is just really working right now.
It works.
And what's happened is he's kind of filling in, and I think Ham was the one that said it 2 years ago, that surge pick and pop game is the new Taj, and Russ is finding him on the floor. And it's really made that first unit really good. But what's been even better about that is it's been able to make some of those backup units, and it's Billy Donovan just doing what he does, where he just puts guys in the right positions. And I think we're going to see more of it as we get closer to the playoffs. But that second unit now doesn't lose leads as much anymore, right? Even though Samaj is your point guard, you still have four other very capable guys on there. You're not forcing a Kyle Singler out there. Jeremy Grant's not playing out of position when he is playing, right?
He's not really playing.
Yeah. Doug McDermott is getting good minutes and giving good minutes. You have Abrines who's playing really well. And then Ennis. Mm-hmm. Ennis is a huge part of this team. And I don't know, man. They're just clicking. And Victor Oladipo, I think, is probably the most unsung guy of this room. Maybe not even unsung. I think a lot of people recognize how great he has been, but he has been on fire.
It's been unbelievable. I think I saw today he's made, 15 of his last 21 threes or 16 of his last 21 threes or something like that?
Have you noticed how weird they're looking, though? Like, he spreads his legs.
Well, he's taking them all contested. So, I mean, they're all of his threes are contested.
What do you think about his celebration after he hits a three?
I like what's he doing? Man. He's just slapping his head.
I love it.
It's great. It's a great head slap.
So my dad sent me a text and he said, "What is going on with this team?" He's like, "They look like a totally different team now." And I think the thing, so what I just said to him is I said, "You know, like, this team is figuring things out and they're growing." And I think everybody underestimates how hard it is to throw in two guys of importance and rotational guys and then just roll with it. Plus losing a guy that's as important, obviously, as Victor Oladipo, who's the second best player on the team.
Yeah.
I think we've tried to downplay how important he is by elevating Steven Adams or elevating different guys. But Victor Oladipo, like, he's the only other guy on the team that can do what he does offensively.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Russ and him. And so for me, it's, I think the thing that, what I answered my dad is I said, so this team's just getting better every day and nobody is excited to play them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that would want to play them in the first round right now.
Yeah, they're just on fire. And I think another thing with Taj starting is how passionately he plays and how passionately Westbrook play, their energy levels just feed off each other. It's like the confidence in that starting unit is through the roof now with Taj inserted in there.
And every time I watch them play together, and I know that Taj is 32.
He doesn't play like it, though. That dude's so capable.
If they could sign him for 3 years at 12, three at 36.
They should. They really should.
Man, he's just...
And he can move way better than... when you think of him, you think, oh, power forward. The dude
he's not David West, right?
Right. He can guard a lot of threes. If given the chance, he can guard a lot of threes. A stat for Vic.
Go ahead.
The Thunder are 14-2 when he scores 20 points or more.
Yeah. Mm. It's a game changer.
It's big time.
Talking about Taj, talking about Victor Oladipo, it makes me excited to see them. And, you know, I know it's a different Golden State team on Monday. I would have loved to have seen this team where they are today.
It's a different Thunder team.
Golden State team. I don't hear me saying that I think they could go. I don't think that they're better than the Golden State Warriors when they're full health. And they may even lose this game, right? The Warriors are special. And they were on pace for being the best regular season team since last year's Golden State team. So, but the thing is, in the midst of all of this, is like
Taj adds an element defensively and offensively that just is a game changer in any series.
It's filled all of the holes that we wish were filled all season.
Yeah.
The defense.
For real, though.
But really. But Doug McDermott has too.
Doug is good. I mean, the Thunder needed more shooting. I just can't get over that trade. Like the last two trades that Sam Presti's pulled off, the Serge Ibaka one. Tell me this. How much better is Serge Ibaka than Taj Gibson today?
Not that much better.
I mean, we got to see it tonight. This is an awful game for the Raptors, and this is not like an evaluation point for the Raptors.
Plus, Taj is probably younger.
He's not.
Well, theoretically. Well, he could be. Well,
okay. You forgot about that.
Luke is a birth certificate truther over here.
I need to see the birth certificate.
Yep.
And then shall I believe that he's younger? Because he's not.
Okay. I believe that. Did you know Perk is only 31 years old?
Is that real?
That's real news. That's real news. That's breaking news.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe that either.
That's breaking real news.
Perk is 65 years old.
Perk might, but to the United States, he's 31.
So I think Victor Oladipo deserves to receive a coup beer this week.
He deserves to drink it.
I think that we give him an elevator wheat because he has elevated his game since he's come back.
He's 32. Perk's 32.
I was going to say.
Okay. Sorry.
But here's the thing. And I warned the guys on the podcast, I've been working up something. Because Victor Oladipo deserves it. He's been the game changer over the last week. But Russell Westbrook, there's just something about that guy.
He's a great guy.
There was an article that came out this week, right? Tim Cowan from the ESPN, the magazine. Tim Cowan, I don't know how to say his name. Tim Cowan is what I'm just going to say. So my son loves basketball, like obsessed with basketball, obsessed with the Thunder.
It's a cool thing.
It is an awesome thing. And he plays, he just finished a league a couple weeks ago, and he's really good. Now, he's a little bit older than most kids in this league because they do it by grades. But he kind of dominates, and he loves fast breaks. He's really fast. Like, he's just really, he's a good basketball player. And I try really hard to humble him. Like, but we got a lot of things to work on, and I try to get him engaged defensively, and you know,
you just block the crap out of him. Yeah, in your front.
I did that yesterday. He was really upset with me. So, but he told me one day when he was leaving the gym, he said, "Dad, I just watch Russell Westbrook, and I try to do what he does." And I was like, "Well, that's freaking incredible." And then there's this part of me that wants to be like, you know, there are some things about Russ that we don't want to do, you know. But I'm sitting there and I think about Russell Westbrook, and then I read this article by Tim Cowan, and my son, he just was getting ready for bed and brushing his teeth and flossing and all the things that good parents force their children to do. I'm just making that up, maybe, but and I'm sitting there and I'm reading this article. It's the first time I got a chance to sit down and read it. And if you haven't read it, pause the podcast and jump on ESPN.com. Find the article. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's great.
But I sit there, and we always read before we go to bed, right? It's a practice that you're supposed to do. And so I'm sitting on in the chair, and he's laying in bed. And I said, "Son, I'm going to read you something that doesn't have pictures." And I start to read him the article about Russell Westbrook by Tim Cowan for the ESPN the magazine. And I start to kind of read this thing, and I only read the first two paragraphs because I'm like, there are words that he has no idea what he's talking about. He doesn't really get the story, but he gets enough of it. And he sits there at the end, and he starts kind of looking at me. My son's in that age where he just asks a billion questions anyway, but he starts to ask questions about the story. And if you know anything about the story, if you've read the story yet, Russell Westbrook travels to Atlanta to be a part of a basketball camp, and he's unexpected. And he's really uninvited. His coach pulled some strings to get him pulled there. He gets a jersey that's oversized. He shows up late to practice. And he talks about how that moment is this pivotal moment for Russell Westbrook, where that chip on his shoulder that just is the way that defines his entire existence as a human and a basketball player, it really just grows and grows in that point. And then it kind of progresses through his entire life story up until today. And I thought about something, and I don't really know what it means, and I don't know what it means for you who are listening, but this is what it means for me, is that Oklahoma City came here 9 years ago, right? Or 8 years ago, 8, 9 years ago. Russell Westbrook was the first player drafted as an Oklahoma City Thunder. Still the Sonics, but really Oklahoma City Thunder. And so for most of us, we're just getting used to being NBA fans. You know, like I follow the Cubs in this 108-year-old drought. Like there are people that were born and raised Cubs fans, like age 0 to age 100 Cubs fans. In the same sense for us, like, it's not really that. We're only Thunder fans for the last 8 years or for the last 9 years. And so we're just kind of now getting used to being fans of a team and being obsessed with the team. But my son will know no other world. He will be a Thunder fan from the moment he recognized what sports will or sports were, and he will be a Thunder fan for the rest of his life. And so when he's 40 and 15, he's looking back at this time and with this guy, I think he's going to understand how special and talk back at this time in his life of remembering to that I got to watch Russell Westbrook play. And the thing about Russell Westbrook is his story is so direct to our story. We're the state and the city with a chip on our shoulder. We're the state and the city that feel undervalued. In the midst of this KD thing, it just is really – the biggest deal is that it's a punch to the gut of our pride.
Yeah.
Right? And Russell Westbrook feels that. And he's the perfect person for this time in our state and in our city. And I have a few friends, Jamie Wheat and Bobby Wheat, used to always say that last year they're like, I think we're going to miss – out on the fact that we're watching the Thunder in the good old days. And I always thought that was true. And especially when KD left, I thought that they were right about that. But here's the thing. Is with Russell Westbrook, I recognize that just now we're in the good old days. And the cool thing about it is that we're not done yet.
Yeah.
But there's more to come. Because Russell Westbrook, undersized, undervalued, will not let the Oklahoma City Thunder be done yet. And that's why Russ, now and forever, deserves whatever coop beer we could ever give him.
So many coops.
And so here's the thing to all you Thunder fans who are stressed out and frustrated because he may not get the MVP, because this Thunder team is in the sixth seed, and sometimes they lose four games in a row to teams that are just trash, is just to relax. Sit back, crack open an Alpha Hive, an F5, a Horny Toad, and recognize the marvel and the brilliance of this moment that we are witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are witnessing greatness. Like, this is a season, and not just a season that will be a season to remember within this season, but a season that will go down in the history of the NBA as something spectacular, something special. It's not just a great season, but it will be legendary in NBA history. And he may not win the MVP, and time will look back, and I think time will understand how absolutely ignorant it is that the narratives overtook how great he has been on the court. But Russell Westbrook is made for this moment.
Yep.
And it seems like he was created for this team and for this city, and he isn't finished yet.
It's funny that we always thought that like Kevin Durant was the player for the city until he was gone, and then until it like cleared room for Russell Westbrook, and then we're like, oh crap, no, it's been Russell the whole time. Man. You know what I mean? Like, yep. Back to the relationship metaphors, because I'm really good at it. It's like when you date this girl and you're best friends with this girl since middle school, and then you break up with this girl you were dating, and you're like, oh my god, the love of my life was right in front of me the whole time.
Right here.
She's right here the whole time.
Oh, man. Hey, that was great, Jay.
That was good, Jay. Jay's now getting a beverage. a water beverage.
So, if Russell Westbrook doesn't win the MVP, which is
pissed!
It's probably more likely that Harden wins it just because of the wins, right? And like that's going to be the reason why. But even if he doesn't win, so Oscar Robertson, everybody talks about his season, right?
Yes.
They talk about his season and averaging a triple-double way more than they do about who. I don't even remember who won the MVP that season.
I have no idea.
And you know that Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double more than you know that season. So this, the accomplishment 50 years from now is going to be better than winning an MVP than anything. Yeah. It'd be great if he does win it. It'd be a great thing for this team, for this city. But this is something, like Jay said, it's going to go in the history books forever because this is the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how many of those rebounds came on free throws. I've heard that in conversations more times than I would ever want to hear it. It's ridiculous.
I hate that basically one person started that, and then everyone's like, oh, no. Okay, well, yeah, actually, no. I never thought about that, so we're only going to count that for Russ. We can talk about this every podcast.
It's the dumbest
way
to penalize somebody.
The DTD podcast says, make Russ the pee-pee man.
Make Russ the pee-pee man. Can I do something? Tonight, I had a change of heart. So okay. Up until this point, we've been talking about like Russ or James Harden, and I've kind of always been like, I think James Harden's going to get it because his team's going to be better.
Yeah.
Well, I'm done with that because Russ has been the best player in the league this season. These are the things he's the best at this okay. year. Points sure. per game, PER, assist percentage, plus minus. That's offensive and defensive combined.
Right.
VORP. He has most triple doubles. VORP is
value over replacement. I learned yes. that this year because yes. of this podcast.
Yes. Triple doubles will probably maybe get the record all time, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And he's doing this all in 35 minutes per game, which is less than LeBron and James Harden are playing.
He has 34 triple doubles as of tonight, which is a crazy accomplishment. And the Thunder, how many games do they have? 12 games left.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to get
nine?
Seven more.
To what, tie?
To win. To have the most in one season.
Make him the pee-pee man. I mean, I'm done with everyone else's argument. Russ should be there.
I guess that's to tie it. So he'll...
If the Thunder to succeed, Russ should be the MVP because of how much better, because of how good he has been on his own.
And I mean, they could be the fifth seed. The Clippers, have they lost yet?
They lost.
So the Clippers lost to Denver tonight, 129 to 114. And they lost to the Bucks the night before. And so the standings currently have the Thunder. What are they? Half a game back yep. of the Los Angeles Clippers right now. They're the tied in the loss column. And the Thunder play the Sacramento Kings on Saturday. And who's next? The Cavaliers are the next team for right. the Clippers. So we could see the Thunder
move into the fifth seed.
Move into the fifth themselves. Seed, at least for now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible that they stay in the fifth seed. And if they play Utah in the first round, first of all, there would be a lot of, like, first of all, it would be so, I think that the Thunder could beat the Jazz.
Yeah.
In a first round series, mostly because of the inexperience of the Jazz. I think the Jazz are a very good team, and they could be a better team than the Thunder going forward. But today, their injury history, their injuries currently, and they're also inexperienced, I think that Russell Westbrook could beat them on his own. And to the astonishment of like the entire like NBA nerd community, like what would happen if the Thunder beat the Jazz in the first round?
The thing is, the Thunder's kind of had the Jazz number.
They beat them like three out of four times.
And this year too. This season. Sure, yeah. So I don't know. I would love it.
I would
love if the Thunder make Western Conference Finals.
How much love the Jazz get so much love from so many people. And if the Durantless Thunder beat them, it would just be a massive victory for this team. And then they would play likely the San Antonio Spurs in the second round, who haven't looked that hot, right? Portland beat them. No. The Thunder beat them the other night. And I don't want to get like way too excited because I don't think this would happen. But there's a path to the Western Conference Finals for this current team, especially if they can get to the fifth seed. If they can get the five, there's a path. I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't expect it.
But I would.
But
I'd bet my life.
But there's
on
a.
It.
But there
I'd
is
bet
a. Path.
I bet my life right now.
I bet my firstborn on that.
And it's crazy because once again, a week ago, we were all just like, "Does this team even deserve to get in the playoffs?"
Oh God, I know.
We literally were saying, "Just think about their draft pick. Just think about their draft pick." But
yeah, let's be careful about these conversations because they could lose to the Kings, lose to the Warriors, and go back to sixth seed, and then I mean. I don't know. It's more the most likely thing. They'll be the sixth seed going into the playoffs, and they'll probably lose in the first round. That's still the most likely scenario. But I'm just saying that if you squint real hard, there's a path to get to the Western Conference Finals. There is.
And the injury to KD just made it all.
Oh man,
more wide open, right?
Hey, yeah. The Warriors have got big problems.
Ooh.
More than basketball.
And it's not about basketball,
and
baby.
I love it.
I don't know what that's about.
They're the worst.
But I don't need to know what it's about.
I love it.
That's enough information.
I love
me.
It.
They're big dummies.
Freaking it's love about it. Draymond. So, guys, which one do we want to go to?
We're going to top five.
We got top five power rankings. A request from at triple double VGC, who wants to know our top five. Favorite Russ moments from this season so far, or 10 moments if five isn't enough.
Top five power rankings. Boo, 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 boo. Top five power rankings. Boo, 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 boo. Top five power rankings.
Today was great for Russ. One, he had the thing about Steph Curry where he said, who's he? Because Steph Curry said, pick James Harden over Russ, blah, blah. All of you know that. So he said, who's he?
Okay, we have to talk about that.
Yes, there's context.
We have to talk about how he said, who is he?
Yes, exactly.
Because he's not... So they asked him... Stephen Curry said that James Harden should be the winner of the MVP because he's got more wins. What do you think about that? And he said, I don't care. It doesn't matter what he say. Who is he?
Like, who is he to decide
who the MVP is? Yeah, who is he to say that?
Yes. Like, he ain't crap.
Right.
Yeah, because people are taking it as like, oh, you can't say that about Steph Curry. Everybody knows who he is.
Yeah, he's...
It's like, okay, you've missed it. Like, you completely missed it. Sorry, you've missed it.
But also that's because people on Twitter are only quoting who's he. They're not quoting the conversation. They're not sharing the video.
The video is shared a lot, though. People have
shared a lot.
People have seen the video.
I saw a lot of that.
I think people misunderstood it. Because that's not what he's not asking. Like, he's not trying to say like people don't know who Steph
and Russ
Curry
is at this point now to where people want to find things that he's saying that are annoying or like petty, you know?
Yeah. Anyways, that's a great moment. Also, the beginning of the season, whenever he said that's cute about Kevin Durant, like fawning over the Warriors and their organization.
Oh, that was so great.
When they got into the argument when we played them last, the Warriors.
Oh yeah,
that was a good moment.
That's my number three moment. When he said, "I'm coming."
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is the moment where he told Ennis not to talk to Zaza on there?
Oh, don't talk to that.
Don't talk to that.
BA. Yeah.
No, BA. I'm not sure that that's such a great moment for him.
I thought it was a fantastic
anti-Warrior moment. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Top one.
I have the Sham God against the Suns where he... Yeah.
That's number one.
Number one has to be the dunk on Capella for the win.
That's what I was going to say.
We can't even build up to it, Jay.
I'm sorry.
Come on, Jamon.
The dunk on Boogie
for
his
sixth
foul.
Hey, Andrew, what's number one?
I haven't even gotten there yet.
Okay. I thought you said two was the...
We're all
no, three is I'm coming.
Right now.
Sham God.
Four is Sham God.
My fault.
Three is I'm coming. Two, I have... Really, all his clutch play, like the barrage of threes against Boston, the clutch shots and dunk against the Clippers at the beginning of the season, the Jazz on the road twice. He was insane in all those games.
And the first one was without Vic as well.
Yeah. And then number one has to be the dunk to win the game against Capella because it was... Everything that embodies Russell Westbrook, it was an ill-advised play because he should have just stopped and gotten fouled to end the game because that would have ended it. But no, he decided that he was just going to smash Capella. And if you haven't seen, there's a video that was put out there by Bleacher Report where he dunks it and then lightning strikes Clint Capella and he falls to the ground. And it's the greatest thing ever. If that play happened tonight, Russ would win the MVP.
Yeah.
It's just a shame that it happened so early in the season. It's forgotten a little bit. I wish that it would happen.
I wonder if all these people, when it gets closer to actually voting, will go back and like really look at these players like entire seasons, and maybe that will help Russ out a little bit more.
And here's something to remember in the midst of this whole conversation is that not everybody is Tom Haverstraw, not everybody is Zach Lowe, not everybody. So there's a bunch of voters out there that are going to look at the whole part of Russ's season and be like, dude, 100%. Just because not everybody looks at the analytics and decides why they don't think Russ is worthy of it, right? Like they don't control the narrative that much. And so I think that maybe people are hearing us saying that Russ isn't going to win it. I think he has a good chance to win it. And I think if he continues to go on a stretch here, where I mean, he's got three really hard games coming up after. So they play the Kings, the Golden State, and then they play the Sixers, all three at home. But then they go on the road to Houston, a Dallas team that embarrassed them last time they played on their floor, and then they play at Orlando, which should be a pretty easy one. And then they're back home for the Spurs at the end of March. And so if he puts a great little run together, if they go into Houston and maybe, just maybe,
if they
get
win,
a win,
yeah, that'll be a big
face
deal.
To face. Like that's a 2:30 game on ABC. Like everybody's watching that. Like there are opportunities for him to really grab a hold of this thing and go forward into it. But he has to continue to play like he has in the last four games.
And he needs certain media members to jump on the Russ for MVP thing too, because there is a group of media people that influence a larger amount of media members. So like, for instance, if Zach Lowe he hasn't picked like who his MVP is going to be. If Zach Lowe comes out and makes an argument and talks for 30 minutes on his podcast about how Russell Westbrook is the MVP, that ups his chances so much more because of the amount of media members that will just listen to Zach Lowe and be like, oh, okay, yeah. And then they'll make the same argument, you know? He needs a certain group of people to take him on.
Is that media member not Shaq?
What's funny is how many NBA players are like, yes, Russ is without question.
Obviously, yeah, Russell Westbrook. Yeah. It's a lot more the players who see what he's doing and really watch him, and less the people who... I mean, the thing about all these guys that cover the league as a whole... You can't watch every game. You can't watch every guy. You can't watch the whole season. And the truth is that these guys haven't watched him night in, night out. They don't see what he's doing all the time. They look at box scores and then they try to pick it apart and figure out like why
shooting percentages.
Why the triple double isn't that great. They look at his shooting percentages, they look at his efficiency, and then they pick that apart. But when you're watching the games, he's undeniable. He's an undeniable talent. He's an undeniable player. I agree. He's been the best player in the NBA this season by far.
He's unbelievable.
Bow! Luke hasn't talked in a while.
Yeah.
I like that song, though.
I know.
Just in case we don't.
Is it bow or is it oh?
Bow, 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 bow,
bow. I thought it was
definitely not
bow. I'm pretty sure it's
bow.
I think it's
I thought it was hey.
We're probably talking about a different song.
You're unbelievable.
Can you tell me who wrote it?
Hey.
Who sang it?
No.
Anybody?
Wait, what?
Who sang that song?
Chumbawamba. I get knocked out, but I get up again.
You're never gonna keep me. Bow,
bow,
yeah. Bow.
EMF.
Hey.
So if we're not talking
OMG,
about
OMG, how bizarre. That's who it was.
If it's not something
OMC, not OMG.
Just in case it doesn't come up in conversation.
So,
another
so
thing mad. You need to stop immediately and go check out is the Enes Kanter video from earlier today.
Oh,
him and Stephen Adams made a video, and it's like
one of
there
those
are things. No better videos to be made for him.
Root me.
What
do we love
that?
More than
what?
Our mustaches?
What do they
say? He says... Moustaches, which is as good as him saying Pongcast.
He doesn't even say moustaches. He says moustache. One. He says
our moustache.
Like, our moustache. Yes, he does.
If they share one.
He doesn't even say plural.
All the pictures in the background are gold.
It's perfect.
They're puppies? High five.
No, trees?
Trees. No.
Hey. Hit Nick, and then Nick like wakes up and
Nick's in it.
Phenomenal.
It's the very best.
And I haven't watched it yet.
So, okay. So... How can Kevin Durant, so you look at these two, and then you look at what Iguodala and Draymond Green have been doing the past week. That's who Kevin Durant chose. I don't really want him in my city.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things we're missing while we're here doing this is that Up the Thunder has it, but Tony Durant just went on
Twitter.
A rampage on how
I've been seeing
hunting for triple doubles. Hey, you know what? Screw you, Tony.
Yeah. Tony, listen, bro. Go to hell.
Tell him.
Go to hell.
Go to hell.
I got a song for you, Tony. Hey, Tony, I don't like the things you do. Hey, Tony, if I could, I wouldn't be you. Hey, you're Tony. The one and only Durant. The one and only weirdo. The one and only brother that makes me say, go to hell, Tony. There's more.
This is still happening.
Oh my God. You're less than good. You're not great.
Oh my. Yeah, Tony Durant. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, guys.
I don't know what that was.
This is what happened.
That was a
Frosted Flakes commercial. Yeah, that's great.
Let's move directly to TQs.
Hey, you know what TQs made me think of?
What?
Some Bars BQ.
Some Bars BQ.
Oh, Bars BQ.
We don't need to get into it because I answered it last week.
You're so stupid.
I'm happy.
It's TQ time.
Twitter questions. Our first TQ comes from at Kobe Juan Ginobili, who wants to know.
What a good name.
Great. Good one.
Update. Tony Durant has deleted his Twitter account.
Totally.
The account?
You know why? Because Katie's people were just like,
he
get
went,
off the internet, you drunk ass.
He's like, you know our whole plan is to make Katie look perfect, right?
Yeah.
Don't buy into it, Tony.
That's not why. It's because he went to hell.
Oh, Tony's gone to hell.
Yep. It was from us.
He got sucked down.
he's watching on Periscope down. Right now.
The demons got him.
He got sucked down
by the demons.
Hey, Nikki K just told me she heard your monologue on Periscope and loved it.
A lot of buzz on the internet about the monologue.
Can we get to these T-quests?
Yeah, I'm trying. At Kobe Juan Ginobili wants to know, is Westbrook more popular among fans than national media lets on? Or was that just Brooklyn? This is a great question.
It's a great good question.
Because the Brooklyn crowd was paying attention to Russ's stats, and when he got his 10th rebound to get his triple-double, the place, standing eruption. Huge eruption of cheers.
And we have a friend, Blake Wolf, lives in Brooklyn and was at the game. And I had asked on Wednesday if there was like a triple-double counter going on, and there wasn't. Like, these people are just really in tune with the game.
These are just smart fans.
They just love the game, and they love to see greatness. And I love that that's being appreciated in different arenas, because it was certainly appreciated in Toronto tonight as well. Like, people want to come see Russ. And I think he is more popular. He's definitely more popular. Like, if you just listen to... If Tom Haberstroh is your guy, you would think that Russell Westbrook was just not that good. But people understand, you know, people understand how good he is and want to come see the greatness of Russ. I think that people in Brooklyn showed up just for that because Jeremy Lin, I love him, but there's just not a lot to show up for.
Except for that hair.
The hair's great.
My dad hadn't seen Jeremy Lin in a while. I watched the game with him and he had a lot of thoughts on Jeremy Lin's current do.
That's classic dad.
It was great.
Like what dad would like that hair? You know what I mean?
It was great dad moments.
I'll say that I miss Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin is good.
He's really good.
I mean, Charlotte misses him too.
Yeah. God, Charlotte, what are you doing?
Let's just pay the man.
Pay that man money.
What were we say?
Huh?
Pay that man his money.
Bury madman with his money.
I don't know.
Bury him with his money.
What did he say?
It was something about the last. I don't know. I'll think about it.
All right, let's move on to our next.
It's not important at all.
Next Twitter question comes from at AustinS1027.
Oh, fancy the boy.
Oh, fancy the boy. Oh,
can't we just fancy the boy for a one time? Boy. Jeremy Lin, he's... Oh, Scott Green. Just fancy the lad.
Fancy the man, Andrew.
Fancy the man.
All right, what? Oh, I'm sorry to people listening on headphones.
Scott Green.
All right.
I turned you guys down during that whole thing, so it might have been okay.
Then I'll just get louder.
Probably not.
KRTQ from at AustinS1027, who wants to know, where does Domantas Sabonis rank in terms of your favorite NBA names to say?
He doesn't rank real high because I've got a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 that I love a lot more, starting with Joel Ball. Boy,
you next. Should definitely have Luke read these.
May I?
No.
Next one. Next. You can say them with. You can say them after.
Yeah, I'll say them.
DeAndre Bembry.
DeAndre Bembry.
Bembry. Can I nominate one?
Just feels good. Can I get through my list first?
I'm afraid yours is going to be on mine.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, just
okay, go on.
Dragon Bender.
That's great, fantastic. Man.
That's a great name. Festus Ezeli.
Festus.
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 Cristiano Felicio.
Felicio!
It's a great name.
Cristiano.
Mario Hezonja. It's a great name. I love this name. I love to say this name when I'm just like walking around my house. Paul Zipser. Paul Zipser is a great name, and of course, the best name to say in the entire league, Marcelo
Huertas.
Also, he's not in the league anymore.
He's not, but I still count him. Luke, did you have
him? No, mine was Marcelo Huertas.
Yeah. It's the best one. Guys, we had to save it for last. We can't just put that in the middle of the list.
Hold on, you guys. A staple of this podcast, Bondongovic.
That's I know, true. But that's not his. I mean, it's our name for him.
It's me trying to say his name.
The Bone Dong.
The Bone Dong.
And the Boogie.
And the what?
Oh, the boogie.
The boogie.
And the buddy.
The boogie.
The boogie for the buddy.
Which may be working out for Sacramento. Buddy's been better than he has all season.
Who knows? Maybe.
And Cousins.
Maybe the Kings know what they're doing.
Ball with the ball to boogie for the buddy.
I'm so mad about that. I've never wanted to quit the podcast more than right now.
Okay.
Oh, smokes.
Let's move to our next Twitter question.
We can't do night ones anymore, boys.
Our next Twitter question comes from @justjack71. Who wants to know our comments on the new Stash Brothers Russell Westbrook MVP?
There was
video.
A question. Sorry, stole your thunder like I stole Andrew's earlier. It's incredible. It's like, it's everything.
It's the best thing the Thunder have ever done.
I didn't watch it because I was at work.
Shawshank Redemption, this video, The Matrix Reloaded.
My only frustration with it is it's something you wish would come from the Thunder.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Like, this is a great opportunity for the Thunder's social media to do something. Like, they should be campaigning, right? Like, in some sense. Or is that not what you're supposed to do, Andrew?
No, you can people campaign for MVP and awards.
No,
all sorts
guys,
of
no,
stuff.
We just traded him to Chicago. Campaign. He's not here anymore.
Oh,
boo.
Boo.
Yeah, teams campaign all the time. And they even send stuff to the voters.
Yeah,
for the
that's what I thought.
One year, the Magic sent like briefcases with
Superman stuff
for Dwight Howard.
That's right.
And it's really weird and crazy.
Well, so send us some stuff.
Hey, can we?
Thunder?
How do we vote?
This is a Twitter question.
What?
Who it comes from?
Let's see. I'll ask it. Our next Twitter question comes from @TMBC_youth. Who says, y'all talked about OKC's small social media use, Presti comment on Russ in the ESPN article, and now Stash Bros video. What are our thoughts?
Good.
I think they are making some improvements.
They are. For sure. They've done some things recently.
Yeah. I like it. It's great.
And they can't. I think the Thunder would like to be able to control everybody, but they've proven they can't control Enes Kanter. Right? Like,
yeah.
He just... That dude is it's like Joel Embiid and Enes Kanter are like the top two social media presence.
And the personalities on your team can help
how
people view your team. Right? Yeah. Like it can help you.
Enes Kanter is helpful to the Thunder in that way.
Yeah.
And he also is helpful to me because on Saturday he bought me 4 shakes from Arby's.
You got 4 Jamocha shakes?
No, they were the special Andes mint shakes.
I didn't know Arby's had any other shakes.
Yeah. I don't know either. Those Jamocha shakes.
Jamocha shakes are real good.
You know what Arby's has?
The meats.
All the meats.
Yeah, they have the meats, and Friday I get the meats.
So
I get home from work back from Stillwater to the city, and the first thing I do is go and get the meats. Saturday and then Saturday for lunch I also get the meats again.
So I show up to Arby's with my son.
I don't know how you're not 900 pounds.
I know.
Meats, man, they're good for you.
And it's Kanter. And it's Kanter when the first thing that he asks everybody when they step up to the counter, you see my tweet? It's like, of course I saw your tweet.
Holy crap.
And then seriously, for every person that he asks, he just like beams whenever they say yes. He's oh great.
I love that guy.
He was awesome.
I love him too.
He remembered recording the podcast intro and everything. We talked about that. I told him how much I loved his passing. I just went on and on about how much I did. He said, well, the double teams that just keep coming. Of course they do. Have you seen what you do?
That's so great.
Did your son say anything funny about him?
He didn't really. Give him fives.
Little kid fives are the best.
Yeah. He was awesome. He was
my wife and son ran into Enes at Walmart.
Yeah.
And they said he was like 100 people around him.
Yeah.
And he was so nice to like everybody.
He's a good guy. He also said, man, that's a lot of shake.
It was a lot of shakes.
It was a lot of
Why'd you get four shakes?
Four people in my family.
You all drink a whole shake each?
Were the rest of people in the car?
No, they were at home.
That's a long way to your house, man. The shakes are going to melt.
It became milk.
No, they were good.
I drink Andy's milk. Andy's chocolate milk? Mint chocolate
milk? Oh, yeah, you would.
I don't like chocolate milk.
You don't like chocolate milk? Chocolate milk is the balls.
Okay.
I mean, that is a good thing.
I thought for sure you're saying bomb. I was at like 99%
in the middle of the word, and I thought that's what you were gonna say.
I thought please no doubt he said bomb.
Please go to the next question.
I was trying to censor myself from saying something worse than I went to bald. But chocolate milk.
Something could be worse.
It makes no sense.
Chocolate milk is very good.
It is good.
It is the balls. Now let's chocolate, go on.
Chocolate mint is what I said.
No, I said chocolate milk.
Luke's having his own show over here.
Luke is Bud Lit. All right.
Let's go to our next Twitter question. It comes from Robbie Folland, friend of mine, who wants to know if we swapped Russell Westbrook for LeBron James straight up, how far do the Thunder go in the playoffs?
I think they can get to the Western Conference Finals with LeBron. Yeah. The thing that differentiates him from Russ is his size and his position.
It's size.
So he can play. The Thunder are just so bad at the three. If you bring in LeBron, that gives you the ability to play like Vic, Abrines, LeBron, Gibson, and
Steve. Yeah.
And that's an incredible lineup.
It's what LeBron's able to do defensively because of his size as well.
Yeah.
Too. So,
I mean, he defends every position.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love Russ, but when it comes to the playoffs, you just can't bet against LeBron James. You just can't. And even with this squad, they don't have the same supporting players that the Cavs do, but still, he would make this team better in the playoffs. I don't think necessarily they would have more wins in the regular season. I don't think he would average a triple-double with this team. But I do think that when it comes to playoff time, LeBron can control the game better than anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Whatever. I have nothing. I love LeBron. I just think
so
every single year
in the
playoffs.
Greatest players of all time, man.
Every year in the
top
playoffs.
Top five.
Every
greatest
year
players
in the
of
finals.
All time.
For sure.
Like he's in the same conversation as Jordan, Bird, Magic, all of those guys. Yeah.
He's
incredible.
No matter who wins the MVP, LeBron always comes in the finals like, oh,
he's
crap.
Still the best
LeBron's
player.
Still the best player.
It was funny. It was one of those conversations where I was talking to my son again about basketball, and he really wants to play in the NBA. I'm like, man, you know, you work hard. And so, yeah, I can be like LeBron James. And I said, here's the deal, bud.
No, you can't.
No.
You can't. Like, I mean, you may be able to. The thing about LeBron is he's 6'9 and 260 pounds.
He's Karl Malone.
He can fly.
He's Russell Westbrook and Karl Malone.
He can chase down every... I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
There's the most incredible athlete in the history of NBA.
I believe athlete was correct.
Yeah, that sounded good. You should have kept going.
The most incredible athlete. He is. He's the most incredible physical specimen maybe sports has ever seen.
Yeah.
He's great.
All sports. All time.
Yeah.
Maybe Bo, but that's it. LeBron and Bo.
Bo?
I don't know. 6'9", 260 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bo Outlaw?
Yeah, maybe Bo Outlaw from the Kings of 2011.
No.
Wait,
that's
when?
Travis
I'm thinking
Outlaw.
Of Travis Outlaw.
Okay,
let's go.
Okay,
let's
go.
Bo Outlaw from the
90s. I don't 90s. Know who Bo Outlaw
let's
is.
Power go. Forward from the 90s.
Not LeBron James.
I was 7 in the 90s.
Next Twitter question.
Okay.
Comes from @Cody, son of Steve, who wants to know how important is efficiency in the MVP argument.
I'll let this one go to Andrew.
It's not that it's, I mean, it is important. It's just important in the overall NBA conversation right now. People are obsessed with it. And it's a big deal because it's how you're scoring points and how helpful you are to your team on a nightly basis. But it's definitely not everything. And it's kind of become everything to a lot of people.
And that's why the three-point shot is so important, is because it's a more efficient way to score. And if you can shoot threes, and that's why people like look at people like Taj Gibson, they look at Enes Kanter, and they're like, they should probably shoot threes instead of those long twos, because it's a better shot. It's a more efficient shot. So it's a big deal, just because it's a part of the NBA nerdery conversation.
But that's the only reason that it's a big deal. Like, if you look at like actual outcome of NBA games with Russell Westbrook, it's not that big of a deal, right? Like, in with a guy like Allen Iverson, it's not that big of a deal. Allen Iverson is someone who you can compare to Russell Westbrook a lot when it comes to shooting percentages, because they're very close.
Yeah.
Allen Iverson for his career is 42% from the field and 31% from three. Russ this year is 42% from the field and 33% from three. But like, when Russ is on the court and when Russ is doing as much as he can, the team is winning. So how important are his shooting percentages at that point? I don't know. I think there's a balance, and I think it's.
I'm not saying that what he does is not important. I think that people just look at other players and think like, wow, they do more, or they can help more.
But you're only looking at like efficiency of shooting. You're not looking at assist percentages. You're not looking at anything else.
Shooting is just so important in today's league. It's more important than it's ever been ever, because the three-point shot is more prevalent. It just is. It just is.
If you don't shoot, you can't score. That's why it's important.
Obviously Russell Westbrook shoots a lot, but and he's scoring a lot as well.
That's why like Steph Curry is, he's like the poster child for this, right?
Yeah. I know, and he's great.
I don't know if anybody read this NBA analytics article, like the analytics behind the MVP or whatever.
And it was the most proper it's analytically proper MVP conversation.
It's awful. I
hated it. I
can't remember who it was, but somebody said that Steph Curry should be the MVP, and then I threw my computer through a window.
That's why it was broken a few months ago.
I was so mad. I just couldn't. That is where you're looking at stats, or you're doing whatever. You're doing something besides watching the games. Like, how can you watch Steph Curry over this last stretch that he's had and say, oh, that's the most valuable player in the NBA today?
Yeah.
It's just garbage.
Yeah.
It's just garbage where you're not watching the games and you're looking at the best, like, well, the best team is Golden State, and the best player, I think, right now, because Kevin Durant's out, Stephen Curry, he's the MVP.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest logic. Like, please just watch the league, watch the games. That's what this is for. It's the most fun league probably in pro sports. Watch the games. And you'll know for sure that Steph Curry this season is not the MVP, and that Russell Westbrook deserves it. Him and James Harden. It should be him or James Harden.
That's the argument.
I don't think that Kawhi Leonard's in it. I don't think Steph Curry's in it. I don't think LeBron's in it.
People really want Kawhi to be in it.
And Steph Curry's not in it. None of those guys are in it.
If you look at it, like, the Spurs are, they're not as good without Kawhi for sure, but they're not as bad without Kawhi as the other teams are without James Harden or without Steph Curry or without Russell Westbrook. Like, the Spurs are going to be the Spurs at some capacity. And like, Kawhi, how many minutes is he playing? 31 minutes a game? 32 minutes a game?
I don't know off the top of
my head. And the Spurs are freaking really, really good. But Kawhi isn't the MVP.
Yeah. No.
It's James Harden or Russell Westbrook. That's the argument.
Yes.
And you can't be mad if it's James Harden, because he's been really good, tremendous, so good.
He's been incredible.
Rockets are really good.
Kawhi's 33.8 minutes per game.
Okay.
I mean, Rockets, and we're not the only ones that would say this, the power rankings across the board have the Rockets up in number one.
Yeah.
They're playing really, really well and beating people.
Right. And I've said this for a while. If the Golden State Warriors aren't right, the Rockets are going to the finals.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the Rockets.
Thunder or Rockets, right?
Yeah.
I even kind of like the Rockets. Not a third. I don't know if the Warriors are full healthy, not, you know, but even if, I guess that's kind of what you say, right? Even if KD's 80%, but I don't know. The Rockets are playing really well, and they've gotten better.
Yeah, they're good. They're very, very, very good.
And we'll see. The D'Antoni issue, right, is the defense. How is it going to hold up? But they've been pretty decent defensively.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is it an issue as much as it's today's talked NBA. About? I know. That's what I think, too.
Even back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, they were one.
Oh, my God.
Steve Nash.
Robert Horry got.
Robert Horry. Yeah. Steve Nash to the scorers table.
They were so good that year.
They would have won the title had that not happened, and all this D'Antoni stuff wouldn't
be. Who's it? Amari and Boris came off the bench.
They took one step off the bench. Mm-hmm. They got suspended in the stupid David Stern era. If that would have happened, Adam Silver would not have suspended them. Not a chance he would have, because it's just stupid. But yeah, D'Antoni is plagued by basically that one call.
Yep.
It sucks.
So let's move on to our final Twitter question. It comes from at that True Talk, who wants to know, what percentage chance do you give Abrines and Sabonis becoming a superstar slash all-star slash starter slash rotation slash end of bench slash bust?
Okay, so
he says that superstar and all-star, no chance.
Wait, yeah, grading each of them individually.
I'm okay with that.
Maybe like superstar, no way. All-star,
Who, Sabonis?
Sabonis has like a 5% chance of being an all-star.
Okay, I agree.
95% says no way.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
When like 95% is negative.
I think when you say it the other way, it makes more sense. Yes. Because when you say 5%, you're like, oh, like, so there's a chance. Like, 95% says no. Like, oh.
Okay, I agree. I'll bet money on that.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
A starter for Sabonis, I think 65%
chance I say
he's a starter.
100?
I say 100% because he started
like 60 games this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
hey, I got what you're saying.
Starters play 30 to 35 minutes a game.
I think Sabonis is, I give that an 85% chance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the Thunder's plan.
It's more likely than not.
Yeah.
For him.
Yes. Now, deserving, I mean, I don't know. I think Sabonis has incredible potential.
I really like him.
The fact that he's been able to play this much as a rookie says a lot about him for his future, too.
And what the Thunder believe in him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's more about what the Thunder believe in him than what he's done. Right?
Yeah.
Because his play he's not been great by a lot of standards, but he's shown a lot of flashes. I think that he does a lot of things that Thunder want. He just hasn't been able to execute them great this season. I think that he will be a starter. Abrines, the chances that he's a starter, I think more like
15-30%
maybe. I'm a big Abrines backer as well. I think that he's going to be really good.
He's going to come off the bench and be so good.
He's frail.
He's going to be a specialty guy,
right?
He's
going to be Mono, right? Like, he's not same skill set, but similar, I think, role in a really good team, right? Like, in the sense of he's going to be Mono handles the ball, so that was just off the cuff, I guess, maybe. But I think Abrines is going to be a really good player going forward. Yeah, I think he's going to be, like, 2 or 3 years with this team, man, they're going to be pretty freaking incredible.
He can get to the bucket better than people think. I mean, he's more like the Eric Gordon role for the Rockets this year, where you can come off and shoot a ton of threes, you can get to the bucket a little bit. I think he's more like that, where he can come off and just be on fire. I'm a huge believer. I just think he knows how to play the game. He's a pretty decent defender for his size. The only thing that kills him is his size, right?
Mm-hmm. So he's in the right places.
Right, yeah. He's doing the right things. He just isn't physically capable enough to do that, and getting in the weight room will help some. He will never be a like plus defender, but that's not going to be his role. His role is going to be come off the bench and hit threes. He'll close with the team in spots. He's really good, guys. I mean, he's better than I thought he was going to be, and he's shown a lot. Remember, he's a rookie.
Yeah,
he is an NBA rookie. And he's one of the better contributors to this team right now. Like he's better than Doug McDermott right now.
Yeah.
And he's playing more than
I was comparing him with Doug McDermott since they're both on the team right now. And Doug, this is what, his third year in the league? Fourth year in the
third
league?
Third year
in the league. Like, what is Abrines with 3 years worth of confidence going to look like? You know?
Exactly.
And 3 years worth of experience going to look like?
Now, the ages change, right? Like, so Doug's, I'm assuming they're about the same age, aren't they?
I don't know. Doug's pretty old. Doug was at Creighton for 4 years.
Doug's 25.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Abrines is 23.
I don't know. I think there's a 0% chance for either one of them being a bust.
I agree.
I think there's probably 0% for end of the bench. Probably as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Neither of them will be there.
Because Sabonis is the four of the future.
I think there's more bust potential for Sabonis than there is for Abrines, because Abrines already has an NBA skill. Sabonis has NBA skills that are developing, but he doesn't have like a clearly definable, this is what I do very, very well.
Yeah, you're right.
Currently, I don't think he's going to be a bust. I think that's like a 1% chance. But I'm just saying, like, he has more potential for that than Abrinas does, because Abrinas can, I mean, he's Anthony Morrow, right? Like, worst case scenario, he's Anthony Morrow.
Worst case scenario.
Where he, or Troy Daniels, or whoever, you know, a guy that can't defend.
He'll always have a job.
He'll always be able to come in and shoot. I love him.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you marry him?
I like
him.
Oh! But are you in love with him?
Uh-huh.
If not, don't marry him. Oh!
Oh, that was the one that was that embarrassed
too far.
You?
That was a step too far. Guys, I got a question. It's
pretty serious?
Yeah.
Pretty serious.
What is it?
Hold on, hold on. Go ahead.
Are you miffed? And are you peeved?
Miffed and peeved.
Oh!
I'm miffed and peeved, and I'll tell you about
go.
It.
Go.
I was driving after work to my parents' house. They live out in, you know, a little ways away off the highway.
Mm. Oh.
I got stuck behind probably 40 bicyclists.
Good saying.
And
bicyclists.
And it was, and it was hilly, so it was really hard to pass them. I was so mad.
You were so miffed.
Miffed. Because I could only pass like one at a time to like slowly lurch through. And it was terrible.
Dude, because they're probably trying to draft off each other, brother.
They think they own the road. They weren't stopping at stop signs, but I had to. So then I'd pass a few, and then I'd stop the stop sign because I'm following the rules of the road.
A law-abiding citizen.
And like four would blow by me that I'd already passed, so I'd have to pass them again.
I mean, they hate you.
They were big buttholes. I had
to. So you know, as someone who used to cycle a lot, I would have hated you in that situation.
Yeah, but say
I would have been like,
you.
Just go, like, just pass us
up
all.
The hill. If I'm going on the other lane up the hill, and someone else going up the hill, we die. Can't do it, man.
You're being a Negatron.
Yeah, butthole bicyclists, miffing me off.
Taylor, you miffed?
No, dude.
Andrew, are you miffed or you peeved?
No.
Now you
got nothing, man. No, you met Enes Kanter.
I met Enes Kanter. It was great. He's so happy. He's such a good dude. Thunder winning.
They are. It makes life way more enjoyable.
It does.
I should not be this wrapped up in a Thunder or in a team, the sports.
Nope.
It's about time, though. It's almost into playoffs. This is when our emotions really start to pick
up. It's going
to
be great. Hey, look out. If you guys are wanting somewhere to watch playoff games, we got some plans.
Ooh,
we got
ooh,
big cooking plans them up. Ahead. We're cooking
dang.
Them up.
Cooking up some
up.
Plans.
Cooking them up, throwing hey. In some spices.
Get ready. If you are in the OKC area and you want to watch playoff games with us, get ready. It's going to happen.
Yeah, this stuff that we're cooking up is going to be better than your favorite bar's BQ.
Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Did you end that? 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 Did you end that?